Amen. Praise the Lord. Merry Christmas, everybody. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are we glad for the season?
We are.
Jesus is the reason for the season. We are the reason for the season. If he hadn't needed to come and save us, he wouldn't have to come at all, would he?
That's right.
He didn't have no problems. We're the ones that had the problems. So.
That's for sure.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we got some praise reports here. When y'all get settled in, we'll sure will read these. I love
just
to.
One.
Oh, you only got one
I
this
got
week?
One.
Oh.
Actually, I have two.
Oh, okay. Okay. I love it. Go ahead.
To the living Savior, Pastor Thurman and Cheryl, Pastor Dave and family, and the many more that make up the ministry. I write a letter to you every month because I am so thankful for your ministry. I thank God for you, but you yourselves wouldn't know how thankful I am unless I tell you. My heart continues to want to tell you over and over because you help me so much. As I read my Bible, I can look at your ministry and your families and see that which I'm understanding from God's word lived out. It affirms my dream and expectation that I can walk this way, and I can look forward to having a family this way too. With the discernment I've gained, I can also now see that some people's lives and families don't match what I'm understanding from God's word, so it makes your example all the more precious. I perceive more and more how special and uniquely you live. It is a pattern for me that matches the word of God, and I am so thankful I am not striking out alone. I feel at a loss to express to you the magnitude of difference that your ministry has made to me. Several other ministries affirm the principles and teachings that I hear from your ministry, but nowhere do I see the principles and teachings applied to daily life the way I do from you. It is because of the manner in which you open your lives to others and share your experiences transparently. You trust God and model how to do it. Thank you. You generate so much hope in me for my future family and the ability for us as a family to live putting God first, delighting in obedience to Him, and walking in love. What a precious thing I gained from you. Gratefully, Aaliyah.
Praise the Lord. Yes, amen.
She likes
the ministry.
Praise
the Lord.
All right. Well, this is the last time you're going to get my yellow sheets, maybe. Well, you know, Christmas has really been big around here this year. So far, we have raised, with your help, $133,001. We've given Christmas to 7,750 children, teen moms, elderly and homeless, and 447 families at Grace. The homeless ministry that Mo Powers has, it's called Precious Blood Ministry. We've given him 250 coats, 374 hats, gloves, and scarves, and 200 blankets. We told a total of 824 items, and that's included in that 7,750. We, this past week, you know, bought a lot of that, which Baron took some of it down there. Jenny went a couple of weeks ago, and she took helped distribute, and he still has some blankets to pick up. He told me that he never has enough blankets, so if you have blankets or coats at home and you want to bring them here, that's great. We'll be happy to give them to him. Or if you want to buy new ones, that's great too. And we're blessed to be able to help him. And if you want to help us in that endeavor, I did get the first part of the money through someone that paid for the first part. The second part I haven't gotten paid for yet. So if you want to give anything more to the Christmas fund, just write Christmas or Children on it to help fund the rest of the homeless ministry. But I just want to thank all of y'all for everything you've done, especially Candace and Clifford Campbell. She wrapped every single present for Christ Haven, and she got me all bought all kinds of things. And Grace and Mike, they bought Bradley, they bought all the electronics for the Christ Haven kids. And Kim and Scott Smith, they gave over and above and beyond, and she went and shopped for me and bought fleece pants to give to the elderly at Salvation Army and jeans before we even started. I mean, we've been doing this, I don't know, I think since September, somewhere in there, maybe August. But we've been buying for a while. But it took a lot to buy $133,000 worth of gifts. Yeah. It took a lot. And even the 7,750 people. and 447. What is that? 7911 8197. That's a lot. I mean, I shopped a lot with all y'all's help.
Yeah,
I didn't
sure.
do it all, but I did a majority of it, and it was great. I went out Friday. I guess it was Friday, Thursday or Friday. Thursday, I guess. I went with Scott to help me go get. Mo had asked for larger coats, like women's 1, 2, and 3X. And the men's, I never knew there was a 3B, excuse me, a 3B and a 4B. I assume that means big boy. It's all I know. It's a big something. Those were big coats. You know, they were XLs and double XLs and triple XLs and then this 3B, 4B. And I was like, wow, that's new to me. But I bought them. I bought all that they had. So praise the Lord that all those people got coats. Did they all of them get coats or blankets? Go ahead, Baron.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
It was an honor and a pleasure to go down there. Thank God he uses us in different ways. And I went down there and expecting, you never know what to expect. So we get down there and the people were grateful. I'm going to tell you how grateful they are. We ran out of men's coats. Oh. And it was a man that came up and we had some women's coats. And this man took a woman's coat because it's cold. And that's how you know the people are grateful. He didn't care what the color was like. He just said, I need a new coat. So I challenge us to get up out of our box and do something for people that you normally wouldn't do anything for. God worked it out where I met a gentleman from my hometown. Wow. That was living under the bridge. He knew about me. But I didn't know him. I won a state in high school for weightlifting. And he said, I knew a guy had won state, but I had never met him. He's 3 years older than me. And it really touched my heart. So I'm going to make sure I go down there every month to check on this guy. And I prayed with him yesterday. He was so receptive. People are not homeless because they want to be homeless. He don't want to be down there. But he don't have a choice.
No.
So I really thank God for using me in that way because now I have somebody personal that I need to go check on and make sure that he's okay and can do whatever I can for him. One of the things that I seen that the people needed were shoes. And I was like, I'm going to ask the Lord, help me to try and get some shoes so I can take down other people because I had at least 3 or 4 older men ask, and say, y'all have any shoes? And I was like, no. And you could tell they needed shoes. So I'm going to try my best and have God use me to go down there and not give expensive shoes. I don't want anybody killed over shoes because that can happen. But give them shoes that are sufficient so they can operate normally like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Thank y'all for letting me talk, and God bless.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, I have about $2,500 worth of Kohl's cash left so we can go get some shoes. As of the first year, I'll have that for my rewards. They think my rewards, they wouldn't pay me in December because they thought I was a reseller because I bought so much stuff. They took all my rewards away from me. I call them. They fix it. They give them back. But they don't give them back to me till the 1st of January. So it's like, praise God. Thank you so much. But I did want to tell you one story. Well, we were shopping Thursday night, and we have, you know, piles. We have piles high of coats, and we brought the whole bin. I said, is that on roller, Scott? And he moved it. He said, yep. We rolled that whole bin all the way up to the front. They must think we're crazy. You know, it's about 5x6, you know, full of blankets, and it's because we bought the whole thing. And all these people would come up and because they're returning things, and she would have to run me, and then she'd have to return. And she had to answer the phone. This girl was, Frankie had it going, let me tell you. Anyway, so when this one lady, she's standing in line, and she said, what is all this? And I said, well, we're buying it for the homeless. And she sat there a minute, and she said, well, you know, I was returning a blanket, but here, you can have it. You need this worse than I need it. Isn't that something? God is good. Anyway, again, God bless all y'all. Merry Christmas to all of y'all. And thank you so much for everything, for helping and loving the people and the children and the elderly and the homeless and the teen moms, they all need it. They need help. So you touched many lives. You touched not only Christ Haven, you touched the Denton Salvation Army, Grace, Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange that does Grapevine, Colleyville, and Southlake. We also did Justin Community Clothes Closet, who don't get new toys except when we give them, and then we've done it for 5 years now. And they so love us because we've helped them. And then we also, Lena Pope Home, because we did Wings of Hope. That goes to Lena Pope and to Grace. So we touched a lot of people this year. And I just, and now this homeless ministry, that we really touched them. So God bless each of y'all. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wow. You know, isn't it amazing that Jesus came to die for the whole world? And he did it. And it's now down to a faith issue. He paid the price. He bought the ticket. Gave it to us free. Everything. And all we got to do is believe it. All we got to do is believe it. And I just think to myself, this last week, I went down to see some of my family. Got my son and I went down there. And I look at the situation. Some of them are school teachers. Some of them have master's degrees. Some of them, but they're all, every one of them in my family, everyone, without exception, is what I call a good Christian man or woman. Everyone. I live in a unique family. You know, I mean, we sat down and had a sandwich, and then my niece, which was sitting beside me, she's, I don't know how old Sharon is. Yes, everybody in the place started talking about a different story about somebody and something in our family that revolved around Jesus. And how Jesus only could have made this impact. One of the stories, of course, I couldn't help but cry. That's just the way it is. When I tell you this story, maybe you'll understand. I've told this story on some of my tapes, but maybe you've never heard it. But I remember we got talking about our parents and, you know, how they lived and what they did and the good things we remember about them, because I had a very unique mother and daddy, very unique. I had a mother and daddy that got married when they were 20 and 21. And they bore four children in their life, 65 years of being married, before they went home to be with the Lord. But in all of that time, I thought it was normal for people to love each other. I never, ever, ever heard my mother or daddy raise their voice at each other. Not one time. Some people say, I don't believe that. Well, believe it. It happened. I was privileged to live in a home where we did not fight, didn't have no bitterness, didn't have no unforgiveness. I don't even know what the word unforgiveness meant. You know, my sister, after her husband died, she finally, 10 years later, married another man. And that man went to the family reunion in Abilene. There was probably 100 people at that family reunion. We had that once a year, used to, when all the mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers were still alive. And when I went out there and we had that meeting that afternoon, that reunion, and then we left and we went home. On the way home, he said, Thurman, I've never seen a family like this. And he's a Baptist preacher himself. He said, I've never seen a family like this. I said, if this had been my family, it wouldn't have been but 10 or 15 minutes and somebody would have been fussing at somebody, cussing somebody, or slapping somebody. He said, all I saw was love. All day long, all I saw was love. I thought the world was supposed to live like that, didn't you? Is that what the commander-in-chief of the ministry tells us to do? So why don't we do that? Why do we not do it? But anyway, we got to talking about our mothers and our fathers and the things they did and all the stuff, and somebody said, you know, Thurman, can you tell us a story about you and Dad? Something that sticks out. I said, sure. The one thing that comes to me was when I was in high school, somebody supposedly a couple of boys saw me do something, and they went and told the principal. Well, the principal called me into his office and told me that, you know, that he was told by two boys that I did a certain thing. And he said, what did I have to say about it? I said, well, first of all, I don't know what you're talking about. I did not do that. And he said, but two boys came in this office and told me you did that. I said, well, I can't help it. I didn't do it. He said, well, I'm going to have to take their words over yours since it's two of them and only one of you. I said, okay. So he said, I'm going to have to give you a spanking. I'm going to give you three or four licks for doing what you did. And I just stood up and told him, I said, sir, I am not guilty and I am not going to take those licks. I'm not guilty. I didn't do it. I'm not going to take those licks. He said, if you don't take those licks, I'm going to expel you from school. I was a senior in high school, only lacked about 2 months graduating. And he said, well, I'm going to give you a spanking. I said, no, you're not. I said, I quit. I'm leaving. He said, do you realize you only got like 2 months graduated from school? I said, yeah, I could care less. You know, whenever I was young like that, I had no idea what it meant to have an education. To me, an education didn't mean nothing. Nothing. So I just told him, I said, I'm leaving. So I just got up and walked out. I went home and my dad ran into me and said, son, what are you doing home? Is your school out early? I said, no, I quit. He said, no, wait a minute, son. Wait a minute. What do you mean you quit? I said, well, the coach said I did some things wrong and he was going to give me a spanking and I didn't do it, so I wasn't going to take it. So he said, if I don't take it, he's going to expel me. So I told him, I quit. He said, no, wait a minute, son. He said, I had a third grade education. I missed a lot of things in life because I wasn't educated. He said, I'm going to make sure my son graduates from high school. He said, get in the car. We're going back over there and see what's going on. So we went back over there. We walked in. Dad talked to the principal, and the principal told him, these boys said this, and so that I was going to have to take a spanking. And they went and got the principal, the coach and the principal, both there. And they both told him that if I didn't take this spanking, they were going to expel me from school. My dad looked at me right in the eye and said, son, did you do that? And I said, no, sir. I did not do that. He turned around to the coach and the principal and said, my son is not a liar. He has never told me a lie in his whole life. I never tell him a lie. I know he's telling me the truth. So he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to see that my son graduates from high school. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If you guys believe that he's guilty, then I'm going to make myself available, and you can beat me up any way you want to, hit me any way you want to. I'm going to take his punishment because I know he didn't do what he said he didn't do. I'll take it. The principal and the coach both said, if that's the way you feel, Mr. Scribner, then we just forget it, and your son can come back to school, and we'll take yours and his word over these other two boys. And I sat there and cried over that as I told that story. How many men do you know that needs a daddy like that? That's right. I'm going to tell you that I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am because I had a good mother. I had a good daddy. I had people that lived the Word of God. When you live the Word of God, this Jesus came to this earth to do this so we could live this way. It was a free gift. Years ago, I used to be an engineer for the Marriott Corporation. I traveled all over the world. One year, we had a survey done and of the VP's team. And after it was done, there was a guy from HR, from corporate, called me one day and wanted to know if I was going to be in my office that afternoon. And I told him, yes. And he said, well, I'm going to come down and visit with you. I said, okay. I said, is there something I need to do? He says, no, just be there. I said, okay. So I was there. He walked in my office that afternoon and he sat down and says, we've done a survey of all the men that works for the VP and his staff. And he said, I'm not allowed to tell you what you scored on this, but I am here to tell you that you scored higher, especially when it comes to the women Every woman that we ask a question about you, those women, all without exception, said that they would trust you with their life. He said there was not another human being on the VP staff that even come close to scoring as high as I did. He said, I want to know how you do that. As a head man of HR, I want to know how you can be around men and women, and the women especially, and you a man, and they can trust you with their life. He said, how do you do that? I pointed to the Bible on my desk, and I said, sir, are you a Christian? He said, well, yes, I am. I said, well, I base my life around that book. I do what that book says. And by doing what that book says, that's why these women trust me with their life, because they know. In fact, I'm going to tell you right here in this ministry, in the 15 years or so we've been here, I've had many a time the women that work for me, they have no problem coming up and putting their arm around me, hugging me, or holding me close, because they say that we know you're pure and you have nothing but good thoughts about us. Amen. And that's the way I want to be known, Miss Jackie. I want to be a man that can touch the women that work for me, but they have no feeling that I'm doing anything except loving them. How do we do that? We do it because the Savior came to this earth to die on a cross, to be raised from the dead, and He paid all the price that needed to be paid. And He did it not only for those of us that are in this room, but He did it for the whole world. So anytime anybody, you, me, or anybody, I don't care who they are, I don't care what color, creed, nationality, anything else you are, you can come to the Savior. You can just call His name, just Jesus, and that's all you got to say. If you do it by faith, He will save you. He will change your life forever. And then, if we would all do that, some of you may think that this is not right, but I'm going to tell you, I know this is right. If we would all put God first, if we would all accept Jesus, the free gift that He's given, we would never have a need to go out and get money and stuff to give to the poor and the homeless, because there wouldn't be any poor and homeless. If men and women would put God first and do what He said, the Scripture says, now I get this from the Scripture. The Scripture is very clear that if you obey me and do what I say, whatever you put your hands to, I will prosper you. So what do? We go around and say, oh, poor me. Woe is me. Hope somebody gives me something this year. You know, I don't care if nobody ever gives me nothing. I don't want no Christmas presents. Yeah, I don't want nothing. All I need is Jesus. I got everything in the world I need. I don't need gifts. I don't need presents. All I need is Jesus. And I'm a kind of guy, I really don't believe in going out for adults and buying gifts. I don't mind buying gifts for children. But, you know, take your money. If some of you might think you're going to give me a gift, don't worry about giving me a gift. You're looking at the man that has everything in the world. I don't have a need. Do you, Mike? You got everything you ever need, right? Now, you may not be like me. You may want something else, but me, I'm okay. I'm okay. To help children, I don't have a problem with you giving money to help children. But, you know, to buy things for, just like me, I don't need nothing. When I look at these guys, like Baron was telling us about the guy to take a woman's coat. Hey, when you're cold, it don't make any difference what color or size or nothing. If you can get it on, and if you want, you're going to take it, right? And you're grateful. And I don't have a problem helping those kind of people, but I'm just here to tell you. I mean, the Scripture is very clear that if you seek me and put me first, now we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about the Lord. He says, whatever you put your hands to, I will prosper it for you. But he said, whatever you do, now you got to go out and do something. You can't just sit in the house and do nothing. Because, he also tells you that in the Proverbs real clear, that if you don't go out and do something, you're going to starve to death. Take the example of the ant, you sluggard. You know, get off your dead duff and go to work. You know, but there's people that don't want to work. I remember when I was at Lakeland Baptist Church as a deacon over there, Brother Wayne was the head administrator, and one day there was a guy come through there and he wanted some money. I happened to walk in the office just about the time, and he said, "Oh, Thurman, this man here stopped by and he needs some money. He's on the way to Houston or whatever." And I said, "Well, that's really great, sir." I says, "How much do you need?" He said, "About $20. I said, "Okay, good. I'll tell you what we'll do." I said, "I was just coming down here to mow the yard out there in front for Sunday. Today is Saturday, so I said, here, the mower, just go out there and mow that yard. And when you get that yard out there in front, it's not very big. When you get that mowed, I'll give you the $20. He said, I don't want to mow. I said, "Sir, you wanted $20, right?" And I said, "You know, the Lord says work for your money." I said, "You got to work to get things." But he said, "I ain't got time to do that." He said, "I just need my money so I can be on my way." I said, "Just get in your car and hit the trail and you're out of here, because you ain't going to get nothing here at Lakeland Baptist Church." That's the way I feel. If he wants something, you be willing to do something for that. If you ain't willing to do it, don't come to me for money, because I'll make sure you don't get it. You need to work. Is that right? Is there anything wrong with working?
No.
The Lord says something there too. If you don't work, you don't eat. Is that true? That's absolutely the way it is. I want to read a little of the story in Luke chapter 2. We'll just read a little, since this is Christmas Eve. The Christmas story, it's the most awesome story, and it's a free gift that's given to us by God. Luke chapter 2, verse 1.
"And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed."
Wow. I want y'all to know something. God uses the government. I mean, is this true? As I read that, I just kind of stand in awe to think that, you know, I have been a man all of my life that I really don't like the way the government does things. I mean, because when people say all the church wants is your money, hey, let me tell you what, I don't know where you're coming from, but you ain't been in the government much lately. I mean, those boys, they want your money. They want your tax. In fact, last year, or year before last, whenever it was, I heard something that I never heard before, that if you got parts and supplies in your business, the government of Denton County or whoever, they come by and want you to do a survey, and they want you to pay tax on the parts you got in your shop.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah, inventory.
Now, this is stuff you already bought and paid for.
Yeah.
But if you got it on file, they want their money out of that. And I thought, you know, this is not fair. This is not right. But if you've ever had any dealings with any kind, if you've had a business or anything in your life, and you don't you ever complain about the church wanting your money, because God, He gives, you know, everything you have comes from God. And people, in fact, I thought about this the other day when I was reading all this stuff. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you came to this earth and was born as a baby, and you were in the manger. And the wise men came and presented gifts to you. He's the church. But nowhere have I ever read where they wanted people to give gifts to people. Where did that come from? Where do we get this, giving Christmas gifts? I mean, it doesn't teach it in the Word, but the gifts that were given to Jesus. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the church needs money, because God, He takes care of that. I guarantee you. But if there's money to be given during the Christmas season, other than giving it to needy children and things like that, if there's any place we ought to give our money to, it's to the church. It's to the church. They're the ones that's, just think. I was talking to some men this week, and I was telling them about, that we went over $1 million this year for the gifts for these children and the poor and the needy. And they said, "My gosh, how big is your church?" I said, "We got 50, maybe 100 on a good Sunday. And you have collected $1 million. I said, $1 million plus. I said, "It didn't just come from those people." I said, "It comes from Jesus." I said, "He gives us this money, and we give it back to the children and the orphanages and to the poor and the needy." And they're grateful, aren't they, Baron? But there's a lot of people out there that has a need. But I just think about, first of all, let's stop and think about this, and I'm going to find out how much of a pioneer some of you girls. You are 9 months pregnant. Now, some of you girls have had children, so you know what I'm talking about. You are 9 months pregnant, and all of a sudden your husband comes and says, "We got to go pay the taxes." Except he's not going to issue you and easily take you out to the car and put you in a nice cushioned front seat with heated seats on a cold day and close the door and go around and get in the car, and you all drive for an hour or two or three to go pay your taxes. That's all me and Cheryl the other day when we got in the car. We had to drive right over here. They built a new tax office within 10 minutes of here. We drove right over there, right up to the office. Took a number, walked right in. Wow, what a deal. And in just 10 or 15 minutes, we paid nearly $10,000 worth of taxes just so we can live another year. Almost $10,000 just to give to the government for nothing. What are they doing for me? They didn't provide nothing for me. Okay. But here's Mary. Joseph goes out to the barn and brings in the donkey. Now, how many of you girls would like to ride on a donkey from here just to the tax office? Here. Gracie's even shaking her. It ain't very far over there, but you don't want to do that, do you, Gracie? No. That donkey ain't going to have a nice cushioned seat. When I stop and think about this, here's this woman, 9 months pregnant. Seriously. And her husband comes in and says, "Mary, we got to go to the tax office and pay our taxes." And it's at least from where they were to where they were going, at least a 3 or 4 day trip. Stop and think about that. So Mary, does it appear to grumble and complain or nothing?
No.
Nothing. She just gets on the donkey. I'm sure Joseph heps her up on there and gets her seated on that donkey. And he walks along beside that donkey and they head toward the tax office. 3 days. That means every night, come nighttime, they had to take a little something with them because there was no 7-Elevens along the trip. Right?
Right.
No motels. But we look for a motel, don't we? If we can't find a motel, at least we can sleep in the car, right? They can't sleep in the car. They can't sleep on the back of that donkey. So what does that, Mary, what does that mean? Where's she going to sleep? On the ground? You've had children, right, Mary? So you can associate with this if you were going to have to ride that donkey all day long and you're 9 months pregnant and you've been there a couple of times, so you know how uncomfortable life is. And then you're going to ride up to this place, and it's going to come nightfall, so you're all going to have to stop. And it makes you wonder, what did they eat? What did Mary fix for them? Did she fix what? What would you think about fixing if you were that Mary, and y'all come to the end of the day, the first trip, all day long you've been riding the back of that donkey, and now and you're 9 months pregnant, because we know she's right at the brink of having this baby, so you know she's 9 full months pregnant, right? And now then they're going to have to, Joseph or her, one of them's going to fix something to eat, aren't they, Tony? Somebody's going to come up with something. What are they going to do? Well, I mean, something. But we don't know, do we?
No, we don't.
So maybe all they got is some fruit. Maybe that's some, I don't know. I don't know what they had. But so anyway, they had a little snack of something. Maybe, of course, we don't know. Maybe they didn't have nothing. You know, when I think about fasting and how hard it is to fast, you know, but they weren't fasting on purpose, but they just run out. I don't know what they ate. I mean, when you stop and think about this, you know, that ought to really make us grateful.
Yeah.
To think what the Savior and his mother and earthly dad had to do on this earth so you and me could be saved. You know, that's all this was about. He didn't have to do this. He had everything. He came from heaven to hear for you and me. He didn't do that for himself. He did it for us. And so much of the time, we don't even say thank you. I mean, do we? I mean, I know people that are Christians that never have said thank you, Lord. And then, of course, I know some people that's all they do is praise the Lord and thank him. But that's good. That tells me where you are. But so the next morning, they get up early. Now then, you know, I don't know. Now, if that had been back with me and Cheryl, if we had I don't know what she would have done. Stayed up that night, all night. And then I don't know how she would have slept. But the next morning, when I say, okay, honey, we got to get up, we got to go, she said, I need to sleep just another hour. She don't like to get up early in the morning at all. Especially if she was 9 months pregnant. Because she told me a few times how miserable she was when she was carrying her children. Oh, my goodness, how terrible it was. And she didn't have to ride a donkey all day. But, you know, when it comes down to it, we are all wimps in this area, I guarantee you. Because Joseph and Mary, I know that was at least a 3-day trip. And every day that they rode that donkey all day long, and then they get over there that last night to the city that they're going to, and now then they try to find, Joseph tries to find a room. He's got some money because he brought his money to pay his taxes.
Yep.
So we know he's got some money. So anyway, he looks and he finds, and they walk up and down the street and everything, and everybody else is coming over to pay their taxes, so they've all already got the hotel, the housing quicker, and so there's no place for them to stay. Now then, all of a sudden she says, Joseph, I have a feeling the baby's fixing to come into the world. What are we going to do? Well, he goes in and tells the guy, said, you know, have you got someplace? He said, well, I got a barn out back. Oh, my goodness gracious. That'll work. It's better being out under the stars, isn't it, Mary? And it's got to be cold. You know, it's got to be cool. And so I just can see now that there was no grumbling and complaining. And I can think when Amanda had Caitlin, I was up at the hospital. And the little girl that was right next to Amanda, she was having a baby also. And I'm going to tell you, if I ever heard anybody in my life scream a scream that was in agony, it's that girl. I mean, she was screaming. She was upset. She was in pain, and she didn't want nothing to do with this pain. But she was going to go through it. But anyway, I thought to myself, wow. Think about this story, Mary and Joseph. They're riding from their little hometown, wherever it was, over to the one where they got to pay the taxes. At least 3 days. And the way I look at this, I bet you the day was at least 12 hours. I think they started at daylight in the morning. And I think they rode that donkey all day long till the end of the, till the sun went down that afternoon. Don't you think so?
I would think so.
Okay. And one day goes by, now they got to eat and sleep and do all the things you do. Wouldn't it be awesome if I were today on this nice, beautiful, sunshiny, warm day outside? Is it nice, warm, and quiet out there today? It's not?
No, it's cold.
Oh, it's cold. So if I were to say, okay, I'm going to bring a donkey up here. Or, I mean, if I said I'll bring the mule, one of those little things that they ride on that's all open. Y'all know what I'm talking about? My son, they got one of those little things they use for their business. I call it the mule. If I were to bring a mule that's gasoline powered and say, okay, now you can put your wife on that, and I want you to go to the other side of North Dallas, out the way out there. So take you, on that little thing runs about 30, 40 miles an hour. So it'll take you a couple of days to get across there probably. I bet you every one of us, if we had to do that and our wife was 9 months pregnant, I bet every one of us would be grumbling and complain all the way. Don't you agree?
Uh-huh.
And here Joseph and Mary was back out there in the wilderness going across there, and I bet you there was no grumbling and complaining in either one of them's heart. They knew they had to pay the taxes, so they were just going over there to do it. Wow. But they wouldn't have made the trip if it hadn't been for the government. Would they?
No,
they wouldn't have went. Sure, I wouldn't have went. You wouldn't have went. But it came to pass. They went out that decree that the whole world should be taxed. That's still going on too. In fact, that we're at that time of year. That must be why they did it this time of year. I don't know. But every one of you, you know, if you don't pay your taxes between now and January the 31st, they will start putting a penalty on it, and your taxes will go up. Every month they will go up, and so you have to pay those taxes. And I think to myself, I made a huge mistake. That's one mistake I think I made, that when I built this house over here, I built it basically all by myself. I worked night and day. Now, I was an engineer out, and I would go travel and travel all over this country and take care of my job as an engineer for a corporation and build buildings and all kinds of stuff, design equipment for them, do all kinds of things. And then I would come home, and if I got home on Thursday or Friday night, every afternoon after work, I'd leave and come out here, and I'd work on this house till 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. Then I'd get down off that house and drive to Highland Village where I lived, and I would go in and I would take a shower and I would rest until 6 o'clock. Then I would get up and go back to work. And I did that every day until I got this house built. When some people said, boy, I wish I had a house like that, when I tell them what I had to go through to build it, they don't want it. They don't want nothing to do with it. Because, you know, if you really want something, you got to get out there and do something, right? And that's why people don't have something, is because they will not produce what they need to do. I've worked with a lot of men in my life, and I work with a very few of those that are really workers. Some of those men that are really workers. And of course, when I used to hire a manager to work for me somewhere, if I could find a guy that had his own business, that through some misfortune or whatever, that he had lost his business, whatever, but he had run his own show, he knew what it takes to run it. Those are the men that I wanted working for me because they knew how to work. They knew how to work. Let's go to the next verse.
And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
Okay. when it says she's great with child, since we know this scripture and we know what we're talking about here, that's just like, I'll never forget when Dave's little girl, Evelyn, was born. That's my birthday. And me and Cheryl was getting ready to go out to eat on my birthday. So I walked up to my daughter. I called her my daughter, Dave's wife. And I looked at her and I tapped her on the tummy. And she was like this. She was great with child. I mean, boy, was she ever great with child. And I tapped her on the tummy and I said, my goodness, Ayesha, you are big as a barrel. I said, when are you going to have this baby? She said, I'm going to have this baby when God's ready. I said, okay, may it be quickly, because she was great with child. You know, when I look at that scripture, I think, now I know exactly, because Ayesha looked just like that. She was, big, and me and Cheryl went out to eat. Ayesha's still walking around in the house. Me and Cheryl went out to eat. We were gone maybe 2 hours, and we come back home, and Dave, when we walked in the door, Dave said, come in here, Pastor. Walked in, and laying there in the bed in her arms, she's laying on the bed with a beautiful baby girl laying beside her. I thought, wow. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
How quick that happened. So just like Joseph and Mary, she was just like that. And if we were only gone 2 hours, I can only imagine that whenever Ayesha began to tell him, Dave, I think it's time. This was only her second baby, so she's learning. But she knew it was time for this little girl to be born. And so that little lady was born on my birthday. So it was real easy for me to remember when Evelyn's birthday is. That's the only one, because hers and mine are the same. Isn't it amazing? You know, have you ever really stopped and meditated on what that would be like? Especially you mothers that have raised children, that on your ninth month, within the last 3 or 4 days before the baby is born, that you're going to get on the back of a donkey.
I can't figure out how
you
got up.
Yeah, it had to be short.
That was a miracle. Did that
happen? In other words, there's bound to be a whole lot of miracles here, right, Betty?
Yeah, a whole bunch of them. I can't figure it out. I didn't even stay on it very long. I bet she had to walk and back and forth the whole way.
Well, and that may be exactly what she did. But part of the time she rode and part of the time she probably walked. But, you know, anyway, we know for sure that there was 3 days there of riding and whatever of this donkey out through the countryside to get to the taxation place in the city. And now, you know, I don't think we put enough emphasis, if it's possible, we can't put that much emphasis on this, knowing that Jesus didn't need anything. He's always been God. He's always been self-sufficient. He doesn't need you or me. But he loved you and me enough to pay the price as a human being to let one of his daughters, Mary, this little teenage girl that found favor with God, he allowed that little girl to suffer. Now, no, you women have already had your children. You know the suffering that was in that last 3 days. Don't you? She had to suffer and had pain. And like she said, getting on that donkey and getting off, being 9 months pregnant, is something to think about. You just don't think about those things. You know, especially if you're a guy. You know, I can just see Joseph saying, "Help, Mary, jump right up here." No, he didn't ever say that. I'm sure he walked over and got her around the waist as a man, as gentle as he knew how. And he picked that little lady up and set her over on that donkey the best way he knew how. And then she would get balanced on her somehow so she could ride and he could lead. But just think, he did all that for you and me. I mean, if he hadn't have done what he done, if he hadn't had his little daughter ride that donkey for 3 days, you and me wouldn't be here today. We can thank Joseph and Mary for doing what they did, because what they did had to be done for you and me. And, you know, the thing about it is, I'm just like everybody else. I forget regularly what he did for me. I do. I forget. And therefore, I do things that I should never do. You know, I might go in here and sit down and maybe Cheryl fixes us something to eat and we have a little bite to eat and I whoop it all up, you know, and eat it and drink some hot tea or whatever. And then sometimes maybe I don't even say, thank you, honey, or nothing. Just get up and walk out because I take it for granted. Now, is that the way we are?
Yeah.
We really are people that take things for granted. And then when people buy things for you, what really gets me is when you buy things for people and they don't even say thank you. That really gets me. I was listening to a guy the other day talking about there was somebody in the homeless deal was just about they needed something, a coat or whatever, and they were talking about how they needed this, and this guy says, well, I have $300 in my pocket. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to walk over there and give it to that homeless guy. Tell him have a good day. He said, I started walking over there, and all of a sudden the guy whooped out of his pocket, told my friend, look at my new iPhone 6. I just got me a new iPhone 6. He wasn't quite as poor as we thought he was. Y'all see where I'm coming from? I mean, that's why I like to be led by the Spirit, and I like to be careful of who I give things to. Because we don't know, when you give something to somebody, you really don't know that person's circumstances.
Right.
Now, poor people in America are rich compared to the rest of the world. I remember that time when Jeff told us that he went on that trip to North Africa, a mission trip, and he said he found out that during that trip that only 5% of the world has hot running water. Are you in that 5%? How many of you in this room have got hot running water in your house?
You
see, and see, thank you, Lord. And so many of us never say thank you, Lord, not realizing that we are that tiny little number. You know, it's nice to have hot running water, isn't it?
It sure is.
I mean, I love it. I'm spoiled rotten. Don't mind telling you I'm spoiled rotten. Because when I went to Egypt to build that building over there that time, I found out how spoiled rotten I was. When I got over there, I could not believe the way those people lived. I just couldn't believe it. It's unbelievable. There's things that they do that I wouldn't even tell you about, so gross, the way they live. It's so sad. But this is the area that Joseph and Mary was at. They were over there in that part of the world, in the Middle East. Now they're riding that donkey up there to go pay their taxes. So Jesus can be born, so he can come into this world, so he can save you and me, which many of us are not even thankful. That's what's really something. Okay, to be taxed with with Mary, read on to verse number 6. She was a great with child.
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Can you imagine that? The King of Kings. Can you imagine if Donald Trump, which is just the President of the United States, if he came to town and there was every hotel in town was full and they would ask somebody to give him a room, do you think somebody would give up their room for the President? I mean, there'd probably be a jillion of them that'd say, here, I'd be happy to give him. I can move in with my sister or my wife or whatever. Yes, Mr. Donald Trump, because you're President of the United States, we'd be happy. But the King of Kings showed up. But nobody knew, did they? He's not President of the United States. He's the King of Kings. He's God among us. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Prince of Peace. He's here, and just like a while ago when I walked in here and I started walking through here, I asked Kim when I walked in the office, I said, well, has Jesus showed up yet? And she said, absolutely, he's here. Well, how do you know that? She said, because he's in me. I brought him with me. Isn't that amazing? We just don't give him enough glory and praise for what he does. Thank you, Lord. We need to, yes, Lord, we praise you. We thank you that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. And we give you praise and glory and honor. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are so grateful that you show up at this church. We're so grateful that you've come, that you made that trip, that Mary, your little daughter, her and Joseph made that trip over there, and that you did what you did. You came to this earth. You were born on this earth, and then you went through the hell you went through so that we could have all these things that are ours. And Lord, so we could be healed, and so we could be saved, so we could be delivered. All this belongs to us as your children. And you did it all. You paid the price for everything. We didn't have to do nothing for it. Then you turned around and gave it to us as a free gift. It's kind of like all these coats and blankets and everything else. Some of you went out and worked hard and provided money and resources and give it to Cheryl. And Cheryl went down and she bought those coats and blankets and everything. And then we give some of them to Barron. The other day he took his car and went down there. And he gave that stuff to those guys, and those people needed coats and hats and gloves and all that stuff. And I don't know, but if I was willing to bet, I would bet that there were some of those people didn't even say thank you for their coat. Now, I bet there's some of them that did, but there's probably some of them that didn't. Some of them just getting. I told Cheryl the other day, I said, I'll tell you what breaks my heart. First, I saw this in Fort Worth years ago. You give somebody something, and they don't even say thank you. And then they walk down. Maybe it's a coat. Maybe they wear it. Maybe it's cold, so they need it. But a few days later, the sun's shining, it's nice and bright. They don't need that coat no more, so they just drop it on the sidewalk. People do that. Isn't that something? Something you bought and paid for. But that's not my responsibility there. That's God's responsibility, and he can do whatever he wants to. Wow. Next verse. She brought
forth
her.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
Next verse.
And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
Wow. Dude, how would you like to, have you ever stopped to think about this host of angels that's around us all the time, these invisible beings that most of the time we can't see, but in this case, they manifest into a visible sight that you could see. Now then, just think, those guys were out there. They're still out there. There is invisible beings that we call angels, and who knows what other names they may be. But when I look at this stuff, I've been over into the Middle East area. When I went in some of the pyramids and all, when I was over there building some buildings years ago, when I looked and saw things over there that it looks like a human, but it looks like an animal, or part of it's animal and part of it's human. I thought, where did mankind come up with that kind of stuff? Except that there really be a being like that. And they may very well be. You know, I mean, in the battle that went forth, Jesus is there and the angels are there and the angels are taking care of him. They're watching over him. All through the scripture as we read, we see where angels came. And they'd come to Joseph and tell him what to do and how to do it and everything so that he would have protection for him and Mary and Jesus. And they did all those things. It's the thought of all these different things that Jesus did and how it worked. It's mind-boggling. We read this story like it's nothing. But if you really stop and meditate on this story really has got some stuff in it. And like I say, I wonder if you were to take a man and a woman, this would be interesting. Take one man and one woman, say fairly young people like these, like here. We don't know how old Mary was. She might not have been, but 16, 17, 18 years old. But anyway, a young woman. If you were to take a young woman and a young man and you were to give them a donkey and tell them, okay, prepare for a 3-day trip. She's not even pregnant. They're just gonna ride this donkey for 3 days and sleep on the ground at night, because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt they didn't have no motels. You know they had to sleep on the ground, right? And let's just take, and maybe even we take a team of 3 or 4 or 5 people, you know, to walk around with them or behind them or whatever, just to protect them. But let's just see what would happen with one young boy, 18, 19, 20 years old, and one young girl, 16, 17, 18 years old, with one donkey, and have them ride and walk with that donkey all day long, and then that night sleep on the ground. The next morning, oh, we just happened to think about something. They got to go to the bathroom. Now, where are you going to go to the bathroom? There ain't no 7-Elevens out there. You ever stop to think about what they did? You know? But they in 3 days they had to go to the bathroom. Several times. But you know what would happen, I think? I think that we would have a very different idea about what this story means if we had to do this. Don't you? You know, we don't even think about having to do this today, do we? And, you know, I mean, I thought the other night we went and got a new car with a friend of ours that just bought him a new car. I sat down in the back seat, and they said, oh, now, it was a little cool. It wasn't cold by no means, but cool. But, oh, Thurman, this switch right here, you put this down, this will turn your electric seat on, and it really warm up your backside. I thought, gee whiz, it's not very cold. In fact, I got about halfway to Denton. I told Cheryl, I said, ask him how to turn that thing off. It's too hot for me. But, I mean, are we spoiled rotten? I mean, it's cool. It's not even cold. And I can't sit down on a cold seat and ride from here to Denton. What a whip I am. But Jesus and Mary rode that donkey.
Joseph and Mary.
Joseph and Mary.
Jesus was there too.
Yeah, he was there. He was there. Yeah, little Jesus, he was there, was he not? He was being carried in her womb for 3 days and 3 nights, and then wow. Okay, go to the next verse.
And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
Wow, for all people. Next verse.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Now that, like I said, we take that too literal. That's Christ the Lord was born for you and me, so that we could be saved, so we could go to heaven when we leave this place. And he gave it to us as a free gift. You don't have to pay nothing for it. It's yours. If you'll just receive it by faith, it's yours. Wow. Next verse.
And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Can you imagine that? Can you really imagine that? In fact, you know, we had a phenomenon of some kind. I don't know what it was. But I saw on the news the other night there was some kind of a bright light of some kind. I don't know what it was. But it was just going through the cosmos, and it was pretty close to the earth. Now, I don't know what it was. The news guy I was listening to, he didn't know what it was, but it said it's a light in the heavens. I thought, wow, who knows what that was? But with all these angels and beings that the Scripture talks to us about, it could have been anything. It could have been a deal like this. They may know something that's fixing to happen on this earth that we don't know. And they may be coming again, you know, just like they came here. Wow. Next verse.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
Now think about this. Here we got these angels that show up that are in the heavens. They're walking on air. You know, I mean, they're not walking on the ground. They're walking on air. They're floating around up there in the sky. And they're telling these people, you know, the wonderful thing that just happened. They're praising God. And they tell them what it was and everything. And so then they just disappear. They just, can you imagine that? No, I really can't. You know, I really can't. But they go away. And then these guys think, let's go see what it is. So they go looking for the Christ child. And they find him, just like he said, in a manger. Let's read on a little further.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
There they were. Okay. Next verse.
And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child.
You notice they had to see it. They're just like us. They want to see it. And so they did. And then they began to broadcast it everywhere. We have seen the Christ. Okay. Next verse. Or did Cheryl read that one? Okay, read that one, Cheryl.
And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
Okay, next verse.
But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Yeah, that would definitely be something to keep it all in your heart, that's for sure. Quite a ordeal. Can you imagine this is the most unique trip of Joseph and Mary's life? They make a trip, 3 days riding a donkey with a pregnant woman that's ready to give birth at any minute for 3 days, and then they get over there and then she gives birth to this baby. And do you know, it's amazing, there was no doctors, no midwife. She had a baby, her first one too, and she bore that child with no problems. God knows how to deliver a baby. I found that out right here with the Asian Dave. You know that if you'll just let God be God, he knows how to deliver a child. You don't need a C-section. You don't need all that junk. Just let the child come. It will come out and when it's ready. And all six of theirs happened just like that. I'm sure Yesha could tell you more about it than I could, since she's experienced it. But anyway, she done a great job. She brought forth six beautiful children, did she not? And they're all beautiful and healthy and intelligent and supernatural and all kinds of good stuff. I think about that one. Of course, I look at Dave's kids and how healthy they are and how beautiful they are and everything and what they can do. And then I think about that lady in New Mexico that she brought a 40-year-old woman down in a wheelchair for me and Cheryl to pray for while we were there. And this woman was so crippled up, unreal. She was just twisted and gnarled, couldn't do anything. I said, ma'am, what happened? And she said, well, she was perfectly normal until, I think it was about a year and a half or 2 years or something. And then they decided they wanted to give her that series of shots that they give all the kids. So they stuck that needle in her and give her that shot, and immediately she had a reaction to that shot, and she's been totally handicapped from that day on. It was a shot. I think, what do we do when we don't trust God? But do most people trust God? No, they do not. Most people do not believe the promises of God. They just can't go there. And so then we wind up with all these problems with our children. It's so sad. After Jesus did what he did so we don't have to do all this, yet we go back to the world. But Mary kept all these things in her heart. Okay, next verse.
And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
If we were to see four or five angels appearing here today, If all of a sudden one's about 12 feet tall, just stand, disappear right there, and one of them over yonder, and one over here, and, well, I mean, you know, they reach in there and pull that golden sword out, and He's listening and saying, says, you're among Jesus. He's here. Can you imagine if we all saw that with our own eyes? Do you reckon today when you leave here, you might tell somebody about what happened at the church? But he is here, is he not? You can you don't have to hesitate. You can tell people wherever you go, I went to church today and Jesus showed up. He was there. And if somebody says, how do you know? Tell them, because I was there. I took him with me. If you're a born-again Christian, is that a true statement? Yes, if you're a born-again statement, you have got Jesus living in you, the hope of glory. So just, I mean, don't hesitate to tell people the things that you see the Master do. Because, yeah, Jesus shows up. That's just like that couple that came up here the other day that wanted us to pray for their child from Oklahoma. And I said, how did you hear? And they said, well, we run into somebody. I forget who they said. So they told us, said, if you want your child healed, take the child to the Living Savior Church in Justin, Texas, and let them pray for him. And I said, I guarantee if you'll go down there believing that God will heal your child. So that's why we're here. So I think, wow, have we seen God heal lots of children? Oh, my goodness, have we ever seen him heal lots of children? Jesus shows up at the Living Savior Church, does he not? Wow. And I'm telling you, it's great. Wow. So these shepherds were glorifying God and they were jumping up and down, praising the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, next verse.
And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Okay, wow. Next verse.
And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord.
Okay, next verse.
As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord.
And boy, if there was ever a holy one, it was him, that's for sure. Wow, next verse.
And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.
Yeah, you notice they were poor. They only had a little, so they offered what they had. A pair of doves. Oh, next verse.
And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him.
Amen. Wow, the Holy Ghost was upon him. Okay, next verse.
And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ.
You know, it's amazing that this same Holy Spirit that's alive and well back in this day that would talk to a man like Simeon to tell him what he was going to see. Many of us in this room have heard that same Holy Spirit talk to us. Many of you. And you just need to realize that that's him talking to you, and when he tells you to do something, you will know that he spoke to you. You know, I mean, you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt when God speaks to you, he will tell you something, and whatever instructions he gives you, follow it out. Do what he says, and you will be blessed. Don't run from it, but here, Simeon, he's waiting. Okay, let's go to the next verse and see what happened.
And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law,
next verse.
Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation.
Okay, now how do you know this man? How could he say, by them just bringing this child, he didn't know them. How did you say he knew who this child was? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told him, this is the child, this is the salvation of the world, this is Christ the King. The Holy Spirit told him all that. So now this man that's been waiting for this says, this Lord, let me pass in peace now. I've seen your glory. I've seen your salvation. I am ready to die. He's been waiting for this. This is all he was waiting for. Next verse. You've seen your salvation.
Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.
And he did do that, did he not? Next verse.
And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him.
Would you marvel at those kind of things too? I guarantee. Yeah, wow. Next verse.
And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against.
Yeah, the thing about it is, them or even the man that spoke this had no idea what was fixing to happen. He had no idea of the beating and the bruising that just a few years down the line that Jesus would take for you and me, so that we don't have to be sick or... Next verse.
Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
Wow. He's telling him something here that's beyond our comprehension at this point. Next verse.
And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity.
Okay, this woman is a woman of great age. Let's look at this. And this woman, okay, let's kind of read that kind of slow, that verse right there. That one Anna.
And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity.
Okay, so she's lived with a husband for 7 years. Let's go to the next verse and see. Let's talk about how old this woman is. She said, is that a woman of great age?
And she was a widow of about 84 years.
Okay, now hold it. How many is 84? 84 years old. And she's already, now how many years did she live with her husband?
7 years.
7. So you got 7 years with her husband. How old was she when she got married?
77.
We don't know that, do we? Did he show us anywhere?
No.
Maybe, how old do you think this young woman would be when she got married?
14.
Okay, 14? Okay. So she was 14. She married a man when she was 14 years old. She lived with him how many years?
Seven.
And then he died, and she had been a widow. How many years? 84 more years?
Well, no.
She said 84. 20, 40, 60, 80. That's 84
years.
How many?
57 widows. 57 years she'd be a widow if she got... became one at 21. She married at 14, was married 7 years, she'd be 21. She's now 84, so that's 57 years, right? No?
No,
that's
wrong.
Not the way, that's not what it says.
When she was 21, then
she died. Yeah,
so
she's 105. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. She was a widow for 84 years.
Now we're getting here. The reason I've thought about this today, I wonder how many of us, like me and you, how many of us read Scripture and don't really have a clue what we just read? So, you know, we read things all kinds of different ways. But when you really read this, you realize that the one thing he did not tell us was how old the girl was when she married her husband. Now, somebody said 14. That probably would be accurate, or somewhere close, you know, somewhere 14 to 20. But she was a young virgin, and she married this man, and she lived with him 7 years. Is that what it said?
Yeah.
So she lived with him for 7 years, and then he died, and she had been widowed for 84 years. Is that what it said?
Yeah.
That doesn't say she's 84 years old. It says she was a widow. That's why that scripture says she was a woman of great age. Yeah, so she had, 105. That's the way I look at that. Whenever this day finally come, she is now 105 years old, and she's seeing the glory of God. Now God set that woman up special to do exactly this for him. She is a woman that's going to, and she was a widow of 84 years. Okay, read on right there.
Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day.
Now wait a minute. Think about what this woman did all those years. Now, as far as I'm concerned, fasting and praying and standing in the gap for people for all those years is even a more significant miracle than Joseph and Mary riding a donkey for 3 days. You see, I mean, some people have to really get down and suffer for Jesus. So, you know, when's the last time you had to suffer like that for Jesus? Never, we never have we? We really haven't. But, you know, do we grumble and complain? Oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for grumbling and complaining. You know, I for a young boy, now, if you were to take my grandson, which is 14 years old, and a couple of his buddies, and you give him a little sack of groceries to hang around the mule's neck and tell him to go across the country for the next 3 days, they'd have a blast. Wouldn't they? Oh, I mean, they would. They'd have a blast. They'd have more fun. But they're young boys, 14 years old, and they're strong and they're tough and they like being outside. But you throw a scenario in there of a wife with one of them, you know, that's 9 months pregnant, and now let's see how it's going to work. And chances are that boy and that girl may have a discussion or two. Grace is laughing. She already knows there's going to be a discussion. When that boy starts leading that mule a little too fast, you're going to need to stop, right, Gracie? Like Betty said, how did she get off of that mule and get back on that mule? Isn't that something? Wow. Next verse.
And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem.
Next verse.
And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth.
Okay, next verse.
And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Okay, now all of you men that have children, it is your responsibility, either as a parent or a grandparent or whatever, to teach your children about God. That is absolutely a must, because here's a perfect example where Jesus grew, and he grew, and he waxed strong in the spirit and in the wisdom and the grace of God that was upon him. I'll tell you for sure that if you will do that, if you will read the Word of God to your children and your grandchildren, you will be a living example of them. And I think about just me and a few of my family when we met this last Wednesday down at my sister's house. I don't know, 12 or 15 of us, wasn't too many. But almost the entire afternoon, we spent the entire afternoon talking about Jesus. Can you think of anything better to talk about? You want to know why I have such a good family? Because we put Jesus first. I mean, my whole family, you know, we talk about Jesus. He's awesome. He's worthy to be praised. We don't give him near enough glory. He's just, wow. Wow. Let's go see what the next verse says. We may quit here pretty quick. Let's see what.
Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover.
Okay, let's read a little bit further.
And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast.
Okay.
And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it.
Okay, next verse.
But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? I can't imagine. I mean, but I can't even imagine getting your family together, all going back to Nazareth or wherever you're going, and y'all all head together and you walk all day long and stop and eat at different times or whatever you do. I don't understand, I don't know, but you work all day long, and when dark comes that night, you get to looking and you can't find your son. You hadn't seen him all day long. I mean, he's out there in the middle of nowhere. I just can't grasp that. You know, I mean, the way I was when my children, when we started somewhere, of course, you know, we're always driving in a car, so you had to make sure all the kids were in there and accounted before you pulled off, because you didn't want to have to go back and get one of them. That would make you look like a bad parent. But there's been people do that. But here they're all walking. They're walking and riding donkeys, and so they don't think nothing about it. They're going to the temple. Jesus is 12 years old. And read the next verse.
And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions.
Now look how long it took them to find him.
3 days.
3 days. Here, if your child, if you lost them for one day, you'd call out the police force. Yeah, you'd call out the police force. You know, hey, I need help. And of course, today we understand why, don't we? We have problems today they didn't have back in those days, not near to the degree we have it here. That's why whenever you start somewhere with your children, you need to make sure that you know where your children are and that they are with you and close to you and that you're teaching them of the kingdom of God. But here, it took them 3 days to find him. And when they finally found him, you find out that he was about his father's business. He wasn't concerned at all. A little 12-year-old boy teaching the doctors. Where does he get all this information? He gets it from the Holy Spirit. That's right, from the Father. And so as he's taught the word, I can only imagine the amount of scripture that Jesus had in his heart at this point. I mean, he had studied, he had read, but I'm going to tell you, just like Dave said a while ago, whenever he said that, I studied the Bible for 5 to 15 hours a week for 10 years, and then a bomb went off inside my spirit. The Spirit of God quickened my spirit to let me know that all these things I've been reading are true and that I need to start living like this. So when you make a conscious decision, I'm going to be holy, I'm going to be righteous because God told me to be holy. When you make that decision, you're going to find out that not only is the church going to give you trouble, but the world is going to give you trouble. And people in the church don't believe that it's possible to walk without sin. And it may not be. But at least we have 1 John 1:9. When we do sin, we can confess our sin and he restores us and renews us and renews our fellowship. And so we get back under grace. You don't want to fall from grace, because when you fall from grace, that's where you can be made sick and afflicted, and the devil can get you. You don't want to do that. So, but just think, Jesus did all these things for you and me. That's what I say, Billy. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I'm so grateful that he did what he did for all of us. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Do what, honey? Oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to take communion. Okay, let's do that right now. Let's take communion. I'd forgotten about that. Don't you think this would be a good day to take communion? This is Christmas Eve day, the day of Christmas Eve. Praise the Lord. So we're going to take communion. Jesus is worthy of our praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He is worthy of our praise. Thank you, Jesus. Wow.
I wonder what Joseph and Mary thought when they lost Jesus for 3 days. Oh, my goodness, I've lost the Son of God. What am I going to tell God?
Yeah. Lost the Son of God.
I thought about that. I'm imagining anxiety.
Yep. One thing for sure. One thing for sure, you can always know that God the Father knows where everything's at all the time. Yeah, so you don't have to worry about nothing. It's just like when Sid Roth asked me that time when I was, the last time I was on his show back in last March. He wanted to know how in the world, when I heard my wife and my daughter and my granddaughter were all dead, how did I possibly make it without getting mad at God? I told him, I said, God owns everything. And nothing belongs to me. My wife and my daughter doesn't belong to me. They're His. He bought them at a great price. And so if they belong to you, what can He do with what is belongs to Him? Anything He wants to do, that's right. So he had a plan. And the plan that He had, He fulfilled it in them. So who am I to question God? Forget it. He's the Lord. He knows what He's doing, right, brother?
Right.
He knows what He's doing. He's in charge. So all I need to do is just worship Him and praise Him and thank Him and let Him be God. Let Him do what He wants to do. And don't even worry about it. And so anyway, it's amazing. When you walk in obedience to His Word, you'll find a lot of people that'll tell you, you cannot be holy like God says. If God told me to be holy, then obviously it's an obtainable goal. Wouldn't you think, Mary? Because He would never tell you and me to do something that was impossible, would He, Mary? Now, He didn't say it might not be very difficult, but He told us we could do it. And so I think that we should, after what He went through to give this to us, just a little bit we've talked about today, He went through some tremendous trying things, didn't He, Tony? I mean, and we take all that for granted. We really do. We take it all for granted. And some people don't even take it for granted. They just won't accept it. That's what's so sad, isn't it, Baron?
Yes, sir.
The world, Jesus died for the world, of which you're one of them.
Amen.
And I'm one of them. And ain't we glad?
Yes, sir.
Oh, am I glad. Praise God, I'm glad. They can laugh at me. You can do anything you want to. But I'm going, me and my house, we're going to trust the Lord. You can laugh at me. You can do anything you want to. I don't care. But for me and my house, we're going to put God first, and we're going to serve Him and love Him and worship Him. Amen. We're going to live that way, aren't we?
Right.
Yes, we are. Praise the Lord. Wow. We all passed out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for the bread. I thank You that You bore our sickness, removed our disease because of this. Is a representation of Your body, which You bore for these sins for us. Thank You, Lord, for healing us. In Jesus' name, amen. And we eat the bread. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Then we take the most powerful thing in the universe, the blood, which cleansed us from sin, made us where our spirits cannot sin. Thank You, Jesus, for the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't we glad that we can celebrate Christmas?
Amen.
We thank You, Jesus, for Christmas. We thank You for bearing that. I, a while ago when Cheryl came in there in the bathroom while I was getting ready, I told her, I said, oh, and she said, will you pray for me? And I said, yes. And I said, honey, there's only one thing. I started laughing. She said, what are you laughing about? And I said, me. I'm laughing because I have to constantly remind myself that He bore all this for me. And He gave me the privilege to call upon Him so that I, as the house, the husband of the woman in the home, I can pray for you and He'll heal you. I love it. Don't you love it? When you learn you can pray for your wife and He'll heal her, it makes it nice, doesn't it? Right on it does. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we can pray for each other. In fact, yesterday when we was walking down the hallway in there, I got everybody in the kitchen, three or four or five of them. I said, all y'all come over here right this minute. Get over here right now. Obey the master. Get over here. They all come running over there. They said, what do you want, Papa T? I said, I want you to pray for me right now. I want you to pray that I'll be totally healed and made whole in Jesus' name. So they did. They prayed. Now then, is it good to pray for one another?
Amen.
He said, pray for one another and believe so that you may be healed. So, I mean, anybody that don't believe in prayer, we got a problem. Right, Tony?
Right.
Tony, I mean, he knows that prayer works. Mike and Gracie knows that prayer works. Scott and Kim knows that prayer works. All of us knows that prayers work.
Amen.
They work. So now I'm grateful, Lord, that they work, and as you give us prayer to pray one for another. So anyway, if you do need to be prayed for today, my prayer team, you all stand up. We got one back there in the back, Sharon. And Dave, yeah, wherever Dave's at. So. Anyway, I want you all, as you leave here today, I want you to just think about how wonderful it is to know Jesus, and that the Jesus, not only is Jesus the reason for the season, but also realize that you are the reason for the season. Because if it wasn't for us needing the need, he wouldn't have had to come. So he wouldn't, there was no reason for him to come from heaven to bear all the sins and pain and suffering. And he did because he did it for us. We're the ones that had to sin, not him. So Jesus is the reason for the season, but we're the reason for the season. So thank him and praise him that he's the one that did it for you and me so we can be healed and delivered and made whole. Okay?
Amen.
Thank you, Father. We thank you for the word. Thank you for Jesus. We just give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving. We're so grateful, Lord, for this Christmas day, this Christmas Eve day, and tomorrow's Christmas day. And then, Lord, may you bless everybody this whole week. May they have the best week they've ever had, a Christmas week. May they be blessed, and may we be about your business, and may we never forget who you are. But may we do great and wonderful things for the kingdom of God. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.